we're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Maybe you're online and you just came across this website. We're Redemption Church of Plano, Texas, and we are a mighty church. We're mighty because we serve a mighty God. And every time we turn around, He's doing something mighty, and He's using us to do those mighty things. What a great deal that is, right? God is doing things right here, right now, that are impossible with man. But they are possible with God. And it's already happening. You don't know about it yet. One day you're going to know about it and go, whoa, and you're going to testify about it. Today, God's doing those things. Over the last 3 weeks, we've been talking about our series. What's the name of our series?
Limitless.
Limitless. And we've talked to you about God's limitless power, limitless love, and limitless wisdom. Can you believe we're at the end of January 2018? Just get ready. It's already almost 2019, y'all, because February is only like 2 days long. And before you know it, it's going to be 2000. Y'all better get on. If you want to do big things this year, the clock is ticking. All right. Get to moving. This is your year. Limitless 2018. Hashtag that. I hope you are experiencing great success this year. This year truly is limitless because our God is limitless. I should tell you that my name is Chris Fluitt, and I'm so blessed to be lead pastor here at Redemption Church. So, review. So far in this series, we talked to you about God's limitless power, God's limitless love, and His limitless wisdom. Today, in this final week of the series, I want to talk to you about limitless riches. Look at somebody and say, limitless riches. All right. No one has to tell you to daydream about having crazy amounts of money. Right? We all daydream about what it would be like to have a lot of money. We have daydreamed about having more money than we could ever spend. What would you do if you're rich, right? We ask these questions. We think about this. What is the first thing you would do? And chances are good, you already know the answer to that because you've thought about it. It's normal to think about what would it be like to have limitless riches. In the world of professional sports, every year you see a poor college athlete get drafted high in the draft. And they go from scraping by to making ends meet to being a multi-millionaire, just like that. The moment they call their name, and they are usually weeping as they're putting on their hat. And they're just, you are liable to see this, I love you, mama. It's one of these things. And they'll ask them, what is the first thing you're going to do with all that money? When you get that first check, what are you going to do? And they say stuff like this, I'm going to buy my mama a house. I'm going to buy her a car. No one ever mentions the dads, by the way. Poor dads. But it's this thing, they have thought about this moment. They've thought about what they would do if they had those $1 million. And they thought, I'm gonna reward somebody in my life that has been such a big part of it. Way to go, moms. Y'all deserve every bit of it. Often we think about the good we could do if we had the wealth to do it. Am I wrong? Is that you? You think about that often, right? These are great thoughts. You could help a lot of people if you had the riches to do it. You know, if I had the money to do it, I hate hearing about children going hungry in Africa. I hate to hear that they don't have clean water. Let's go, how much would it cost to drill a well in Africa? And we have these thoughts. You look around your community and you see people hurting and you go, man, if I had the money to do that, you know what? I would just take that person under my wing and I would just bless them, find a way to help them and walk with them. We dream about how easier life would be with riches. All right. And you know that's true. Because you have dreamed. You have dreamt of having a maid or having a butler. If you haven't, then I guess I'm on my own little island here, because I have dreamed about what would it be like to never have to do another dish. What would that be like? What would it be like to never have to do another load of laundry? All right. That would be easier, right? Yeah. Are y'all going to preach with me today? That would be easier, right? If you had the money to afford those things. I'm not talking to you in some foreign language. This is where you live, and this is how you think. So you better say amen, right? We all know that riches would make some aspects of life more easy. Absolutely. Wouldn't it be great if you didn't have to work 40 hours a week? You're just independently wealthy. You worked when you wanted and how you wanted. You would love that, right? If you don't love that, there's something wrong with you. I want to tell you that God has limitless riches today. Amen. You believe that?
Yeah.
But before we dive into God's limitless riches today, I need to first divert your attention to the riches of this world.
All right.
Because this world has its own set of riches. Your Bible talks about deceitful riches. What does deceitful mean? It means it lies to you. Do you believe that money can lie to you? Do you believe that wealth can lie to you? Jesus believed it. Jesus talks about this in one of his most popular, well-known parables, the parable of the seed and the sower. Remember, there's all these types of grounds, and there is the seed, and the seed is the word of God, right? And what the seed does in each of these soils is remarkable, and that's what the parable is about. But look what happens in Matthew 13, 22. The seed falling on the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. The word of God, that's the seed, is choked by the worries of this life. And we get that. We've seen that happen in people's life. Like they have experienced God's love. They know the word of God, but then suddenly the cares and the worries of life have just like taken away all their faith and choked out what should have grown to be strong and big. We understand that, right? You get that.
Yeah.
But then it says this, and the deceitfulness of wealth. You see, the things that can choke out the word, they're bad things, and there are things that ought to be good.
All right?
Do you see that? Because wealth is a good thing. God actually gives us the ability to make wealth, and that's a good thing. But it says that the word of God is choked out not just by the worries of this life, but also by the lying riches of this world. Wealth and riches can deceive you. It is possible to choose the riches of this world over the riches of the word of God.
Right.
Romans chapter 2, verse 4 and verse 5. Look at this. Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance, verse 5, but because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath when his righteous judgment will be revealed. Stick with me. Look at this verse for a second. It is possible to choose the riches of this world over the riches of your God. You can show contempt for the riches, it says, of his kindness, his forbearance, that's self-control, and his patience, and remain unrepented. The riches of his kindness, his forbearance, and his patience are meant to draw you to where? To repentance. And if you don't do that, you are instead storing up. Everybody said storing up.
Storing up.
The King James Version says it like this, treasuring up. Imagine it's like a bank account. And just like people go, money, 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 mine, 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 mine. You're taking the things of this world and treasuring them up and storing them up and grabbing onto those things, throwing away the kindness of God, the forbearance of God, and the patience of God, but grabbing hold to the things of this world. And guess what that leads to? Without repentance, it leads to God's judgment. It leads to wrath. You could be treasuring up not the goodness, kindness, mercy, and love of God, but you could be treasuring up wrath that is to come. Somebody say, uh-oh. That's some bad news right there. You have to look out for what you are treasuring up. Amen. And you need to be treasuring up the things of God, not the things of this world. Somebody say amen if I'm right. The riches of this world will lie to you. You can end up treasuring the wrong thing. How much is a dollar bill worth? No trick question. Y'all just tell me. How much is a dollar bill worth? $1, all right? And any other way to say that, right? It's 100 pennies, maybe? It's 10 dimes. It's a buck, right? It won't even really order you off the value mill anymore. You know, it just... It's a dollar, right? It's a dollar. How much is a dollar bill worth? Well, how much is $5 worth to you? Is that any better? Y'all like that? How much better is it? It's like nothing to you? $5? How much is $5 worth? It's $4 more than a dollar. All right, we've got some very literal people here. I like it. We can work with that. How much is this worth to you? Think about it. Think about it for a second. One more here. We got a 10, all right? This is all the money they would let me use today in our budget for today's sermon, all right? How much is this worth right here? It's a $10 bill. Can we name who's on all these dollars? Who's on the 1? All right, who's on the 5? Lincoln. Who's on the 10? Not Pastor Chris, no. Alexander Hamilton. All right. All right, how much is $10 worth? Twice as much as 5, right? All right. Do you know that a dollar bill has zero intrinsic value? Intrinsic is one of those big words for value within itself. This has zero value inside of itself. And it costs 4.9 cents to print this $1 bill. You following me so far? It costs 4.9 cents to print this, and it has zero intrinsic value. Right here, Mr. Lincoln, right here, our $5 bill. This has how much intrinsic value in it?
Zero.
But it's a 5. It's got zero intrinsic value. It has no value in and of itself, and it costs 10.9 cents to print. It costs twice as much to print a 5 than a 1, all right? And a $10 bill. $10 bill. This one has intrinsic value, right? No, it doesn't. It has no intrinsic value. And it costs 10.3 cents to print this $10 bill. Costs less than a 5. I don't understand that, but that's how our government works. The powers that be. Everybody say the powers that be. The powers that be printed this $1 bill for 4.9 cents, and then you bought it for a 95 cent profit on their part. You're 95 cents in the hole when you bought it. They profited $4.89 for every one of these Abraham Lincoln $5 bills you put in your pocket. The powers that be saw you came along and they told you this is worth $10, and then they took it and they made a $9.90 profit, because this is worth zero, except that the powers that be told you what it's worth. Are you following me? I'm not telling you to have a burning of your money party. We're not closing down your bank accounts, but I want you to understand something. Do you see where we're going with this? Because you are killing yourself to have these. You are driving yourself to an early grave to have these. People are killing each other to take these. People are selling their soul to have these. People will will hit you over the head, steal your wallet to have these. They will lie to you. They will look you in the face and tell you untruths just so hoping that you would put these in their pocket. There are people that will call you up trying to scam you on the phone. And these soulless people, I'll tell them that. They aren't soulless, but they need to give their souls to the Lord because they are fighting for this stuff that is worth how much in and of itself? Nothing. It is worth nothing. People miss out on what is really important in life because they're focused on this stuff. Is this really worth missing your kid's childhood for? Is this really worth ruining your marriage over? Is this really worth falling down the slide that is greed and materialism for this worthless stuff? Man, I'm telling you, this isn't worth 100 pennies. It's worth 4.9 pennies. This isn't worth 500 pennies. This is worth 10.9 pennies. And this isn't worth 1,000 pennies. This is worth 10.3 pennies. There is zero value found in this. So why do we try to find value in it? There's no value in it. Look at somebody and say, he's right. There's no value in it. Why do we do this? All because someone told us it was worth what they said it was. And what they did was they told us it was worth more than the cost of the actual printing. And the whole world goes by that very idea. Riches are deceitful. Riches lie. If you only think and worry about money, then I have to tell you, you're being lied to. If you think these bills are of true value, then you need to understand what true value is. You don't understand value. And if your number one prayer to God, oh, is God, give me some more of these bills. That's really what I need. Can you imagine what heaven is thinking when you pray that? They're like, that? You want that from me? I'm God Almighty. I can do so much more than this for you. This is all you want? Can you imagine how heaven reacts to your prayers for more of this stuff? Living by some the powers that be of this world system? Heaven would tell us that we need a real economic lesson of what holds value in God's kingdom. I'm going to say that again. We need a real economic lesson on what holds value in God's kingdom. And if this dollar and the powers that be tell us it's worth a set amount, right? This dollar is worth this set amount, son. You can buy this exact much for it. Will that ever change? Oh, you bet it will change. It's changing right now. It changes every year. It's called inflation. Everyone said inflation. Could the value of this $10 bill ever change? It's absolutely, every dollar that's sitting in your, this is a depressing thought. Close your ears if you don't want it. All right, here it is. Every dollar that you have saved is actually depreciating in value. You get that money in your account and you're like, oh yeah, I got that money in my account. And like, it is going down. Every year, the inflation rate is about 0.82 right now. 8.8%, almost a 1 percentage point. It's going down. What you saved 10 years ago is almost 10% less. Because this system of money of this world is deceitful. And it is not constant. It is always changing. This $10 bill used to purchase more than it does today. And tomorrow it will purchase less. That is why we call it currency. Everyone say currency. There is a current of change within the value of money. The inflation rate, I said, was around 0.8 a year, meaning that our currency will be worth less at the end of the year than it is right now. Why? Why is this taking place? It is for no other reason that is simply the system that we have. And then there is a thing much worse than inflation. We call it, now you don't take this, that money right there, sir. That's not a tip for your plane. All right. There is a thing called hyperinflation. Have you ever heard of hyperinflation? Here's a great picture of hyperinflation right in front of you. In 1918, about how many years ago was that? 100 years ago. Good job, math students. 100 years ago, in 1918, the strong economy of Germany began to hyperinflate. And by the year 1924, in just 6 years, the German mark was completely worthless. And what used to cost one German mark bill, we're talking one little piece of paper that was a German mark bill, what that used to purchase, its purchasing power, in 6 years, you needed 1 trillion of those pieces of paper to purchase the same product. It became completely worthless in 6 years. Anybody, hey, do you have a 6 trillion German mark? I need to buy a stick of gum. That was the situation that they had right there. This is not a made-up number. In 6 years, that $1 in the German mark was so worthless that you needed 6 trillion of those papers, 1 trillion of those papers to equal the same purchasing power. That's some crazy stuff, isn't it? When you were in Germany during that time, it says that German marks were blowing everywhere on the road, just like trash, because they were worth as much as trash. They weren't worth the time to reach down and pick them up. They were worthless. And in this picture, you have children playing with all these German marks. They tied stacks of them together so that they could use those German marks as building blocks. And just a few years earlier, these kids would have been dealing with some really considerable amount of wealth. Crazy amounts of wealth. They would have been really, really, really wealthy. But now they've just got building block toys. Riches are deceitful and currency can change in a heartbeat. But not in America, right? My fellow Americans, this could happen to us. In fact, our economy is built on a similar foundation as Germany's was. They got rid of the gold standard. We don't have the gold standard, meaning that our money has no intrinsic value anymore. We are standing on the exact same precipice, grabbing for a dollar that tomorrow could be worthless. Think about how we are living today. Let's think about it. Can I tell you real quick that God's riches are not currency? God's value does not change with the ebb and flow of society. The value that you find in God never changes. There is no inflation of God in God's riches. What God's riches bought yesterday, they will buy forevermore. He never loses value. God's riches are not currency. Let's look really quick at God's limitless riches. I'm going to hit several verses here. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. In him, who's him? Jesus. And in his blood we have riches of God's grace. Verse 18 of that same chapter, Ephesians 1:18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. If you got a call right now from somebody that said, hey, listen, you just received a huge inheritance check from an uncle you never knew existed, would you tell anybody? Would you be excited about that? Would you be like, how much are we talking? Go ahead. Admit that. Oh my goodness, I've been praying that God would give me a rich uncle forever. All right. Be dishonest if you want. I'm praying for it. Lord, give me a rich uncle in Jesus' name. No. Then you get that call and it's like, whoa, an inheritance is coming to me. You'd be excited about that. Let me tell you, no inheritance on the face of the planet compares to the rich glorious inheritance that you already have in God. What's so great is you don't even have to wait for somebody to die. Yeah. The one who has the inheritance is already giving to you, and he ever lives, it says. Ephesians 2 and 6. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Jesus Christ, verse 7, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Jesus Christ. Incomparable riches. That word means unsearchable right there in the Greek. It means you can't ever get to the bottom of it. You could search forever and you would never search the whole thing. It's incomparable. It's unsearchable. It is limitless. You have the limitless riches of his grace, and they are expressed how? In the kindness of Jesus Christ. Do you know where real limitless riches are found? They are found in the face of Jesus Christ. They are found in his loving kindness. They are found in his word. They're found in who he is. Now we could chase after this stuff forever that loses its value. Who knows what this will be worth in 10 years or 100 years? Who knows? But you have this value in Jesus Christ that will never lessen. It will never go anywhere. And it's all found in Jesus Christ. That's what we need. We need that kind of limitless wealth today. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in their wealth, which is so uncertain. Now you stop, because we need to hear this command right here. But it says rich. Do you realize what nation you're living in? I know you don't feel wealthy, but the rest of the world would look at you, they would stand up and they would point their finger at you and they would say, you haven't missed a meal today. You are rich. You have clothes to wear. You have shoes on your feet. You're rich. You have a car. What's that? You have more than a car. You have transportation. You actually have income coming in. What? You make more than $3 a month. You are rich. And the command is, those who are rich in this present world, don't you dare be angry, arrogant, don't you dare be arrogant, nor put your hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. Are you putting your hope in wealth? Now let me tell you, we got to balance some things here. I'm not telling you to throw caution to the wind and not think about your future. I'm not telling you not to have a retirement plan, but can I tell you something? You want that retirement plan, but you dare not act like that retirement plan is your hope. You want that promotion and that job raise? Absolutely. But don't you act like that's your hope in this world. And don't you walk around like an arrogant person, like you have really done something, because wealth is so uncertain. Comma, but to put their hope where? Where's your hope today? Put your hope where?
In God.
Put your hope in God, who what? Say it with me. Who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Do you know this about your God? He richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. I want to tell you real quick, you might be in a place where you're like really bummed about your finances, you're really bummed about your life, you're really bummed about what you do and you do not have. I get it. But let me tell you, you need to be thankful, because you have a God who richly provides. And he is providing for you right now, and maybe you've not been telling him thank you. He is providing things for you right now just for your enjoyment, because he loves you. When was the last time you thanked him? Come on, somebody, why don't you thank him for a moment? God, I thank you for it. God, I thank you for it. I didn't deserve it, and you gave it to me. God, your care for me, I put my hope in what you richly provide, God, in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, we need to be thankful people. Looking on Philippians 4:19, I tell you now, this is a scripture. I love me this scripture right here. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Can I tell you, there is no comparison between God's riches that are in Jesus Christ and my needs. We really focus on our needs a lot, and I get it. That's well and good. But there is no comparison, because God meets every one of your needs. And he does it all in Jesus Christ. This is also a mistake we make, because when we pray for these things. We pray for these things. It's all right. Look, the Lord pulled a coin out of a fish's mouth. I'm not against this stuff right here. But we pray for this. This is what I need. I need these. God, give me these. I need them. No, what you need is Jesus Christ. That's the system he set up, that he would provide all your needs in Jesus Christ. Do you know that Jesus Christ is better than any amount of money? Do you really know that? Amen. Do you live that? Right. Now, those are two different things, aren't they? To know it, but to actually live it. We need to do it. You need to place the proper value on the proper thing. And we put so much heavy focus on our needs and not on the provider of our needs. Is he Jehovah Jireh? What does it mean? It means that he is our provider. Now, come on. That ought to make you a little bit excited. You ought to let yourself smile over that. I don't care what kind of week you've had. You ought to let yourself smile that Jesus Christ is your provider. Amen. Come on, get a hold of that. Have joy in that. Meeting all our needs. Placing the proper value on who Jesus Christ is. Why did y'all worship today? Because we're trying to put the proper value on who he is. Amen. Why'd you come to church today? Why are you preaching the word today? Because do you understand how valuable his word is? Do you understand it? Moses did this when he was a prince in Egypt. Moses put the proper value on the proper thing while he was a prince in Egypt. Hebrews 11 and 26 tells us about it. Look at this. Talking about Moses, it says, he regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. What a scripture. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as greater value than the treasures of Egypt. Was there a bigger nation in the world during that time than Egypt? Was there a more wealthy nation than Egypt at that time? And where was he in this nation? Was he a slave? Was he a servant? Was he a prince? Was he living in the palace? Did he have want for anything? Did he have gold? Did he have silver? If he asked, could he have gotten any woman in the kingdom? Yes, he could have. All that stuff, all the things that this world goes crazy over. He could have had the brand new chariot right off the line, right? Could have had all that stuff. You want that new car so bad? He could have had that just like that in his chariot, right? But he took the disgrace of Christ, and regarded it as more valuable than the treasure of Egypt. Why? Because he was looking ahead to his reward. Can I remind you to look ahead to your reward? You're living here in 2018, but your focus shouldn't be here. Your focus should be ahead to your reward. And let me tell you, Moses made the right decision, because Egypt's around today, but where is the wealth of the Pharaoh today? Where is the wealth? Is the Pharaoh on the throne anywhere? Can anybody find me the Pharaoh? Is there a Pharaoh around here? Anybody? No. All of his riches are gone and spoiled. They are no more. But Moses has a richness and a wealth that is to come, and we will see him one day in the most beautiful kingdom, a kingdom that will never lose value. It is the kingdom of our God, and we're headed there. It's our reward. Look ahead to your reward. Disgrace with Christ is a greater value. Maybe you need that sentence to like just roll over your head every day. Think about that sentence. Disgrace with Christ, it's greater. It's greater. And you need to look ahead to your reward. If you're sad today, if you're depressed today, if you're sullen and I can't get a smile out of you today, it's because you're not thinking about Jesus Christ and the reward that is to come. Wake yourself up. Shake yourself. Here's what is going to happen to the riches of this world. Revelation 18:17. In 1 hour, such great wealth has been brought to ruin. There it is, right there. In 1 hour, all the ports and all the rich sea captains, and it says, it has a big description, but all the large wealth of the world is going to be brought to ruin in 1 hour. Say 1 hour.
1 hour.
In 1 hour, it's going to be brought to ruin. This stuff is going to be brought to ruin, and it's going to happen so quickly, it's going to make a 6-year hyperinflation look crazy. It's going to make that look slow. It's amazing what's going to happen. We're told this is going to happen. So why in the world would we put our hope in this? Why in the world would we trust this? Why in the world would we put this as high regard above Christ? It is the wrong move. It is the wrong move. But we are told of a city with impossible wealth. We are told about a city that is going to come down from heaven, that it is impossible how wealthy this city is. It's called the New Jerusalem, and it's coming to earth. There's gold in that city. You know what we do with the gold? We walk on it. It's the streets. We call it pavement. It's our asphalt. It is gold. And there is jasper. We use that for walls. Crystal. Pearl, oh, we make our gates out of it. Every kind of precious stone, we could go on and on describing the beauty and the wealth of this city, but these materials are not the treasure of the city. The treasure of the city is the one who is in the city, and it is Jesus Christ. He is the treasure that all the earth is going to look upon. They aren't going to look upon his wealth. They're going to look upon him, and every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess that he is the true treasure, he is the true Lord, that he is to be praised forever and ever. I wish that we could do that today. I wish we would get an early jump on that. We don't have to wait for that day. Let's put all our focus on him, because he's the treasure of that city. He's the treasure of this world. He should be the treasure of your heart and your family today. The Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, is the treasure of this city. Is Jesus Christ your treasure?
Yes.
Is there any greater riches to be found than him? I want to ask you, as I'm drawing to a close, please stick with me today. What happens when you find treasure? What happens when you find treasure? Have you ever found money? It's impossible to find money and not smile. Right? At least for me. I found, it doesn't matter what I find sometimes. Like pennies, people get, don't care. But I remember when I was a kid. And I found a penny. My kids still find pennies. Like, Dad, I found a penny. Like, they're excited, right? You find 20 bucks just laying around. You're like, ha, found 20 bucks today. Like, you're going to tell somebody about that. Because it is awesome to find treasure. It's awesome to find things. I remember I found $20. I was like 13 years old. I thought I had won the lottery. I just thought it was so huge. I was so excited. Have you ever found an unbelievable value being sold at a bargain and been excited about that?
Yeah.
Maybe y'all don't know what a Hammond organ is. Do you know what a Hammond organ is? Any musicians in the house? To find a Hammond organ is always shocking. But I was driving down the highway going through a little town called Grosbeck, Texas. Anybody in Grosbeck, Texas? All right. Anyway, driving down the road with my dad, it's early in the morning, I'm kind of asleep. I look out of the corner of my eye and I see this wooden thing. And I'm like, that looked like an organ. I turn around. We turned around. It was a Goodwill, and they had a Hammond A100 organ in perfect condition right outside. They were desperate to sell it. I was like, oh my goodness, let's walk up there. I'm telling you, if they ask for anything less than $500, we buy this on the spot. We buy the, and we talk about this forever because this is the find of a century. These things cost $1,000 if they're in good condition. Easily these things are hard to find. We walked up, we asked, hey, what's this thing? Can you tell us about it? And they're like, some organ. You want it for $25? Gah! Take my money. Take it. You take my money. I took that organ so quickly. It's in my home in Waco. I love that organ. I was so excited about that. I'm still excited. That is the find of the century. Do you have stories like that? What do you do when you find treasure? When you really find a treasure, it excites you. It puts a smile on your face. It changes you. You tell somebody else about it. You act differently after you found the treasure. As I close today, I want to teach you from Jesus' parables in Matthew chapter 13. In three verses, he gives us two parables. And I want you to pay close attention. Can you give me close attention for just a few more moments? Matthew 13, verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like. Now pay attention. Because when he says that, that's no small little phrase. He's about to give you the key to the parable. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like. Somebody say it out loud. Treasure hidden in a field. So he's going to focus on what? The treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, went and sold all he had and bought that field. A kingdom of heaven is like what? A treasure hidden in a field. Matthew 13, verse 45 and 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. What is the kingdom of heaven like? Merchant looking for fine pearls. Not a trick question. Verse 46. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. The kingdom of heaven is like what? A merchant looking for fine pearls. You understand? He wants us to understand. In these two short parables, Jesus presents the kingdom as a treasure hidden and as a person, the merchant, looking for a treasure. What happens when you find a treasure? Well, the first parable focuses on the treasure that is hidden in a field. When a random guy, did you notice it doesn't describe the guy? It describes the merchant, describes what his purpose is, what he's looking for. But it's just a guy. When a man found it, just a random dude walking around found the treasure. He does what? He attempts to buy the field so that he can obtain the treasure. What do you do when you find a treasure? You will sell anything you have to obtain the treasure. What do you do when you find treasure? You will do anything you have to obtain the treasure. Let me tell you, if you won't do anything you have to, then it's not a treasure. Then it's not a treasure to you. You follow me. It says with joy. It says with joy. He goes and sells everything he owns so that he can buy the field so that he can obtain the treasure. He doesn't steal the treasure. He goes to honestly obtain the treasure. You need to realize, let me break this parable down for you right now. You need to realize that God and his kingdom is the treasure. And it was hidden where you found it. It's hidden to so many. But when you find it, you realize it is the treasure. And you can't steal this treasure. You have to go sell everything you have to obtain it. What's the treasure? It's God and his kingdom. Who is the person that finds it? It's you. It's you. It's the next person that hears the gospel. It's the next person that hears the message. That's the one that finds it. Will they sell all to obtain the treasure of God's kingdom? Do you understand? Say yes if you understand. You should, with joy, sell everything you have because everything you have is less than the value of the treasure of God and his kingdom. You understand the parable? The second parable focuses on what? A merchant looking for the treasure of a pearl. He is looking for something specific. He's not just looking for anything that catches the eye. He is looking for a pearl of great price and of great value. This is not a random guy. The guy knows exactly what he is looking for. And when he sees the... Not today, Satan. We're going to finish this sermon right here. Y'all listen to me. It's not a random guy. He knows exactly what he's looking for. And when he sees the pearl of great value, he goes and sells everything to obtain it. You need to know that God is the merchant. He's not some random guy. He knows exactly what he's looking for. And you are the pearl of great value. And when he sees you, he says, that's the one, that's the treasure. And God sells all he has to purchase the pearl. That's you. He goes and sells everything to obtain it. You need to know this. You are the treasure that God found, and he sells everything that he may have you. Jesus Christ is our true treasure, but you also need to know that you are the treasure that he's been looking for. You are the one that randomly ran across the gospel and this kingdom and realized its value. That's you. And so you said, God, you are my treasure. But also in very next verse, he's letting you know that, child, you are my treasure. You have a relationship with God where he treasures you. Do you treasure him? What happens when you find a treasure? You sell everything you can to obtain it. Have you obtained the treasure today? And if you have obtained the treasure today, oh my goodness, you ought to look like you obtained a treasure. You ought to have a testimony like you have obtained a treasure. John 3:16 tells us this. You know this verse. Why don't you quote it with me? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God saw the treasured pearl and he gave his only begotten Son. He sold all that he had so that he could obtain you. Point to yourself and say, me. Have you found that treasure? Have you obtained it? What have you sold to obtain it? Do you need to sell something today to obtain it? Can I tell you, as we're drawing to a close, that if you have found a treasure, it ought to change the way you worship. Y'all can look at me if you want, but let me tell you, if somebody's standing in a church like they're waiting for a bus, I don't think they found the treasure. I'll just get all sassy on y'all. I'll just get sassy here. No, if you're just like, no, they haven't found the treasure yet. That person immediately goes and sells everything. If you are yawning over the word of God, I don't know if you found the treasure yet. I don't think you realize that there's treasure in this house today. Maybe you just think it's another Sunday. You're just going through the motions. No, no. There's a treasure in the room. Have you found it? And to talk to God in a moment, like 1 minute, I'm going to open these altars. I'm going to invite you to come talk to God. You ought to come like there's treasure here. Like there's treasure to be found. We do three things every time we come to Redemption Church. Everyone worships, everyone receives the word of God. And then the third thing is everybody talks to God. We're going to take a few minutes in this place. I know you probably have a million things that you need to go do. Can I tell you, they are not of greater value over the next few minutes in this room. Now you can do what you want. I'll still love you if you walk out, but I'm telling you, you need to take the next few moments and you need to have a little talk with Jesus. You need to talk to him. If you don't feel comfortable coming to this front of this church today, okay, that's all right. I would encourage you to do it, but you don't have to. But I want to tell you, you need to talk to Jesus today. If you want special prayer in this place, I want you to come right where I'm standing in the first 2 feet. We're going to pray with you. There's treasure in this house. There is limitless riches in this house. Why don't you come?
I'm telling you right now. Why don't you come right now? I'm waiting on you. I'm going to pray, and when I open my eyes, I want to see people down here that want to find the treasure and are willing to sell all to find it. In the name of Jesus, I'm wanting to open my eyes and see people that are wanting prayer in this place today. Come on. In the name of Jesus, I pray for every person in this house. I pray for every person that's watching or listening online. I pray, Lord, that they would find the treasure that is in you, Jesus, that they would sell all to find it, God. Lord, I pray, Lord, that their lives, their eyes would be open, their hearts would be open to receive you. Lord, in Jesus' name, I declare that you, that they are your treasure, that they are treasured by you, God, and that you've got wonderful plans for them, and there is unbelievable things that you can do in their life, God. In Jesus' name, move in our life, God. Lord, we repent of being focused on money. Lord, we repent of finding value in other things, God. We turn from it right now in Jesus' name. Come on, Redemption Church. Let's talk to the Lord in this house. He's our treasure. Come on, worship him like he's the treasured one. Give praise to him. Make promise to him like he is the treasured one in this
house. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.